Somebody gave it to me. I appreciate if my voice goes out, I'll just sit down. I appreciate all the prayers that we've had for everybody and all the response from the accident we had. And it was a different kind of time in our life. It was a little rough. But the Lord saved us from that too, and we couldn't believe how many friends we have and that prayed for us and supported us. And Brother Steve in this church was one of the groups that did. And Brother Steve came in the hospital with Mary and right after it and visited with us. And I owe Brother Steve a dollar. And he knows what I'm talking about. Brother Steve was sitting in my room, and the nurse came in there and asked her if she is saved. And I didn't have a pocket, and I didn't have a dollar. And I said, "Brother Steve, have you got a dollar?" And he said, "I just got coffee or something." And he said, "I sure do." And he gave it to me, and I said, "That's faith to faith." And he didn't think he'd ever get it back, but he got it back. The girl took that dollar home, and she said she would never spend it, so you never know. When we had the wreck, I went into the ER in Selma, and the girl took my blood pressure, and it was 117 over 77. She said, "This is impossible. You're in trauma." I said, "No, I know where I'm going. How about you?" And, of course, she thought, "Oh, God, I got one of them religious nuts." You know, they always think that, but it was easier on me than it was my wife. My wife had a rough time up, and she's a very strong woman, and she's really done real well in recovery, and I appreciate the fact that she is willing to do that, because some people would have just laid down and been sick, because she had some really serious injuries, and she's walking around and mouthing again and laughing, so she did really good. But we do appreciate all the people that have thought about us. All right, I don't think there's really anything left to preach. I'm pretty well, it was covered just now. So Brother Steve Gottberg took care of it, everybody. So I think I'll just dismiss and go home. I make time for where I'm going. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The question to me that I want to ask you right now is, why save Paul? Wouldn't that be a good question? I mean, he seems to be the most forgotten of anybody on radio and TV. He really doesn't seem to be of any importance to anybody. So, God, why'd you save Paul? I mean, there would be a reason, maybe. Maybe we can see some scripture on it. In 1 Corinthians 15, and by the way, if you go to John 17, you'll see that Jesus, before the cross, was praying to the Father and said, "It's finished." And he wasn't talking about the cross. He was talking about the words that he had taught the apostles. So he taught them. We find it in Paul's letters. He said it was by revelation. It was given to him by revelation, what he had. The ministry was inclusive of the apostles. To be an apostle associated with Christ, they had to be from the baptism of John to the ascension of the Lord. Well, Paul's left out of that. They chose another one, so they replaced the 11th or the 12th with the new chosen one, and it wasn't Paul. And when all this is being done, you got a young man out there named Saul who's persecuting them. He don't like them. These individuals are saying that his generation is untoward generation, and he's angry about it, and he's persecuting them and all that. And then just one day, something changed. One day, the Lord appeared to him. And there's really no reason, because the Lord has sufficiency in the 12 apostles. They know the words. They know the thing. And Brother Steve's talking about the kingdom. Can you tell me why Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins? There's a verse that says so. What is it? Galatians chapter 1, before we read this. Galatians chapter 1. People get their child, and good people. There's good people in the world. I'm not talking about the good of Romans 3. I'm not talking about the good of Matthew, where there's none good. But I'm talking about good people. They live together good. They're peaceful with people. They're not trying to hurt anybody. And they're trying to train their children in a way that points towards God. Folks, it's not an issue if people don't believe God and there is a creator. They believe that. We have religious people all around it. But they get their child and they get it on his knees and they go there, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." And they always have them praying for a kingdom to come. They don't know what the words mean. Give us this day our daily bread. They got 3 loaves of bread in their house, but they're praying for bread. They're covetous. Well, they are. Those people that are praying that don't have 3 loaves of bread in their house. And they're praying for their bread daily. But I mean, you got your, and they're not being mean to their children in doing this. They believe it's right. They believe it's the thing to do. And you see in the movies, when people get in trouble, they pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." That's the favorite prayer of all of it. And so that little child gets down, he prays that on regular repetition, vain repetition, as the Gentiles do. Prays it all the time, and he's praying for a kingdom to come. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." Amen. Is that not what I asked you? To do what? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Well, that's not Matthew 5:5. They're looking for the earth, are they not? Here is a man that tells us, who we're going to talk about, Paul, that said Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And one other question I'll give you. When were you justified? I'm going to ask it again. When were you justified? When were you justified? You're not listening. When were you justified? Only a person that is justified can tell you when he was justified by the cross, because he calls you and then he justifies you. Folks, the justification is available to anybody, but you don't have it until you trust him. That's why I asked you, I said, when were you justified? When is that day in your life when you trusted that he justified you? You see, Galatians, since we're there, go to Galatians 2. And Romans 8, we'll read them and see what it says. In Galatians chapter, I asked that in a class, I had to ask it 20 times. And it's not a trick question, Ed. You can go around saying a lot of things, but you know what the majority of people around you still do? They confess their sins. Well, if you're confessing sins, you're not justified. Now watch, in Galatians chapter 2, look with me in verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." All right, Jesus Christ, when he died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, it's by his faith. He was willing to do that. His faith did that. He gave himself that he might deliver us. It must be a specific group in the Bible that's going to be delivered from this present evil world. They will not be praying for the kingdom to come. They don't even know what to pray for as they ought. The Spirit hath to make intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so we got a specific group called the body of Christ. And like Brother Steve was saying, how in the world can Cornelius go in a body when Peter don't even know the gospel yet? That's insane. You cannot go into the body of Christ unless you have the gospel of Christ. Peter didn't give the gospel of Christ to Cornelius. He gave him the same message they got in Acts 2. The only thing is, they wanted to deny him water, and Peter said, "We can't." Well, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, then Peter must be sent to baptize. And there's Paul saying, "Christ sent me not to baptize." It must not be the same gospel. Oh, maybe I'm just silly. Whatever. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. When people say there's no difference between of and in, I always take them to this verse. I said, you got both the two words in the same verse. Now watch. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, there's a different phrase. Now listen, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So then, see, you got a point in that verse where it says, the faith of Christ, here's the justification message, that's his faith. But it ain't no good to you unless you hear it. And if you hear it and you trust it, then you're justified by that. So, when were you justified? See, it makes you start thinking, don't it? When were you justified? Was there a day in your life when you heard the gospel and you go, how could it be that simple? And if you ever see it, you go, man, I missed that. That was simple. It's the simplicity of Christ. Now, he says in verse 16 again, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Turn to Romans 8. And just compare it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And by the way, verse 28 was one of the first true lessons I learned from Brother Moore. He corrected me. You see, where Jerry Lockhart sat is where Brother Moore used to sit every Sunday morning when I had to teach. Every Sunday morning. People say, was that fun? I said, what do you think? Every Sunday morning he'd sit there. I'd teach at 10 o'clock. He'd teach 11. And he would critique. You know. Well, he got me on Romans 8 because I had been listening to Alexander Scorby. And Alexander Scorby does the same thing I did that day. In Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Take that word "thee" out and see where you go. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Brother Moore said, he said, you forgot a word. I said, what? You forgot a word. What word is that? And he said, the. And I had, Alexander Scorby leaves that word out in the readings. Well, that verse, the called. Are you one of them? When were you justified? Are you one of the called? Did you hear the calling by trusting the gospel of Christ? Folks, Romans 10:13 is a great verse. Whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you're going to have to read on. Because if you don't read on in the next verse and the next verse, you're never going to call on the name of the Lord. Unless the 14 and 15 are done. Now watch. He said verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow. Isn't there a great argument about predestination? They always argue about that. Well, how about foreknowledge? Does our God have the ability to foreknow? You know, I told him one time, I said, oh, there went John. He went in the Lord's day in the future. Well, he did, didn't he? Every day you got, John went over it. Saw the book of Revelation, wrote it down. Okay? I mean, what is so hard about believing a God that can take dirt and make a heart out of dirt that'll function 969 years. Methuselah. What's so hard about believing in something? I just tell you what, we went to the IMAX yesterday and they had the butterfly deals for my grandkids. And they were just overwhelmed that they found where the butterflies went. Not one time in that whole deal was God mentioned. The butterflies go where they go, and the butterflies live, and the butterflies do because God made them. And it ain't no big deal for you to... why don't you just sit down and explain to me God? Tell me about God. We can't think like that. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts and my ways are so much above you. God Almighty, explain to me how old He is. Explain to me where He came from. You can't. It's hard to think as a human of a God that existed forever and knows every hair on your head. And yet you bite your nails. You worry. Oh God, where's that money going to come from? Oh God, what's going to happen now? But you could trust Him for your salvation. Well, just trust Him for everything. He's okay. He inspires. He can't lie. He is almighty. He is creator. And He'll do what He says. Now watch. Romans 8:28-29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also what? Now what comes up? What's the next part? When do you get justified? After you're called. After you're called. Well then, the God of this world don't want you called. Now, He'll call you with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all day long in the pulpits of America. But that ain't God calling. God is going to call you through this man He saved. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. You ever got in a closet somewhere and talked to the Father in secret and thanked Him that He called you? Have you ever really told God and Jesus Christ that you love them and mean it? Somebody asked me the other day, said, are you afraid of motorcycles? I said, no, I'm afraid of white Nissans. But now you look, now you watch. I mean, they're ugly, but you look at my eyes. I'll show you how quick and close death is for you. We had 2 seconds. I didn't know whether Kathy was alive or not. I couldn't look behind me. My shoulder was dropped down below my armpit. I broke the windshield on the car. Kathy's great statement is, boy, we can total a car, can't we? And we did. We totaled their car. And I could not. Folks, if you want to learn helplessness, I could not save her. I could not stop the wreck. I did all the training I've had through the years, and I had the girl beat, and she gunned it. I couldn't save Kathy. There was guilt for a long time. God blessed her. He knocked her out. I wasn't. I heard it all, saw it all. And I'm going, where's Kathy? Where's Kathy? And finally she said, what happened? She woke up. And God blessed me. I couldn't turn around and see her injuries. We flew 40 feet in the air and sat down on my butt. Didn't even skin my cell phone in my pocket and back. We went from 45 to nothing. In the air. And God blessed us. We're here today. Maybe for someone in here. It's somebody in here might be saying, you know, I believe that. Yeah, but when did you trust it? When did you ever come to a point in your life when you needed to be saved? When have you ever been in your life lost? Have you ever been lost? Maybe you've never really been lost. And today's the day. Maybe today you become a new creature. And maybe you're the last. We talk a mean game, don't we? If we was as mean a talking game and as mean a doing, we'd be out there getting. But instead, we're worried about the pulled pork in there. Brother Steve biting his nails over there. The pork ain't got here yet. Trust in the Lord, brother. The barbecue place is the problem, ain't it? Yeah. God told them to get here and they ain't got here yet. So. Maybe this is your day. I had a day. Steve had a day. Jerry had a day. Maybe it's your day. Maybe it's be the greatest day in your life. That you might become an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Maybe this is a day that you actually will be justified. Wouldn't that be great? The Apostle Paul counted three times in the book of Acts the thing that happened to him. Luke writes it, of course, but it accounts of the things that happened to him. And one of them in Acts 22 got real personal. And in Acts 26, he's getting real doctrinal. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize," you know, primarily. I hear that all the time, you know. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words." It takes no wisdom of words to preach the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day according to Scripture. I went to bed last night, and that's what it said. I got up this morning, that's what it said. And bless your soul, since 1984, that's what it said, when I trusted the Lord. And so I'm really confident it's going to say that when Brother Steve gets his notes out again 11 years from now. I hope you don't get them out 11 years from now, Brother Steve. All right? He said, "Not with wisdom words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect." And if you have a college education or if you have a great education, that's fine with me. But you don't have to go to college to know the gospel of Christ. And you don't have to know the things of theology and philosophy and sociology to preach the gospel of Christ. You got a King James Bible. And it is amazing how that these great philosophers and psychologists and theologians will never go to 1 Corinthians 15. Because they don't believe that Paul's the man. They believe Peter. And they go to Peter constantly, and then they reach over and Paul to get the grace. It won't work, folks. It won't work at all. Verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us..." Now get to the next three words. Is there a man in this Bible that knows he's saved? Read the next three words. I've had people say, "You can't know you're saved and sure." Well, I know a man that is, and I'm going to use him. Turn to 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I'm going to use him like he said to be used. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. You know, Paul was a blasphemer, but he didn't think he was blaspheming the law of Moses. He says, "Touching the righteous law, blameless." And blasphemy, most people today think the unpardonable sin is committing one or breaking one of the commandments. That is not blasphemy in Matthew 12. Blasphemy is against the Holy Ghost. And you know what? Israel didn't have the Holy Ghost. They resisted it. And we don't have the possibility of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. We're sealed with the Spirit of the dear Son. What a blessing, boy. What a blessing. Well, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Tell that to a Jew. He thinks he's righteous in the law, doesn't he? Well, obviously then he doesn't need Jesus. Why? Why did Jesus come in the world there? Who did he come in to save? Sinners. In Paul's message, he come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look in verse. Of whom I'm chief. Is that like Indian chief? Or is that like chief? There been a day when you looked on your life and said, what is it I will present to God? Have you ever considered that? You ever thought about, say, what if I had to go to present to God a reason that He would let me come in? There ain't nothing. Not one thing that'll get you to God except the faith of Jesus Christ. I mean, really, how vile are you? How wretched are you? Apostle Paul said, Oh, wretched man that I am, and some smart aleck will say, yeah, but that was before you saved. Heard that 100 times, haven't you? They always say that. That was before Paul was saved. No, it isn't. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Remember, you can't thank God if you ain't got a intercessor. You ever think about that? If the Spirit ain't there, God ain't listening. You got to have an intercessor, folks. That comes in Romans 8, 26. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that I serve the law of God with my mind and everything else here. You know, why'd you do that? Somebody said, I turned from my sins. I tried that, but I got 360-degree rotation of it. Everywhere I turned, I hit one that I like. How do you turn from your sins? How do you get better, more better, to where you will be good enough for God? You know, if you read Matthew, a rich young ruler came to the Lord, and he said, good master, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? He said, why callest thou me good? He did not say, why callest thee me thou good master? Jesus Christ is master, folks. The word, I believe it, rabbi means master. And a man called him master, and he didn't say that. But when the man said, good master, he says, there's none good but my Father which is in heaven. Now, if there's none good, then Romans 3:10-11 makes sense. There's none, or 12, Mike, there is none that doeth good. If there's none good, there's none doing good. Now again, you know some good people, don't you? That's not what he's talking about. You're not good enough, nor can you do good enough to get to God. And God knew that. And you're not surprising him with what you are. Nor do you need to tell him you're a sinner. He's pretty sure on that one. God, I'm a sinner. I turn from my sins and give my life to you. God said, did you know that, Jesus? Come on, folks. Trust Him. God knew us before the foundation of the world. And oh, is there a beautiful verse in Corinthians? But I want to read this. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first That probably doesn't mean first, but it says first, right? That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a what? A pattern is something that you follow. They do not make cars without patterns. My wife does not make dresses without patterns. She has patterns. She lays out. Well, we've got a pattern here. And he said, for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Are you in that group? Are you following the Apostle Paul? You know, I'm pretty sure that the Apostle Paul wasn't walking an aisle when he accepted Christ. Number one, there ain't an aisle in the Bible. He didn't go up there and lay sins on an altar. You never lay sins on an altar. Folks, you lay something that's pure to dedicate on an altar. He would have known this doing remembrance of me. As a little boy, I didn't know who me was. I read that. I sat over Jerry one time, this doing remembrance of me. I said, who's me? I didn't know. You go to Acts 17, he said, you worship an unknown God. You know, when Paul was told in Acts 26, he said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, they didn't like him because he told them Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. Diana was a precious thing, wasn't she? And the Jews didn't like him because in Acts 13:38 said, by this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and you're justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. What did they do to him in 14? They stoned him to death. Delivering from the people and from the Gentiles who now I send thee to open their eyes. Why wouldn't the God of this world want Paul to be preached? Because if Paul's preached, eyes are opened. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sin. Those three things have to happen before you can receive forgiveness of sin. Thus, when you talk to people and they're confessing sin, they haven't had it preached to them. If your eyes are not open, if you have not turned from the power of Satan unto God, you cannot receive forgiveness of sins. Brother Steve, reading 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That liberty there is not the liberty to sin. It's liberty from the bondage of the law. Amen. The law holds you tight. Condemn you all the time. Folks, anybody confessing sins, even though they don't want to say it, they're still under 1 John 3. Sin is also the transgression of the law. He said, I don't believe in following the law. Why are you confessing your sins? That's what they're doing. Folks, I can't confess my sins. I don't have any. And I ain't digging up that old man. That's a filthy little creature. I look at myself and I say, God, I thank you that you did what you did for me. Because I had absolutely no hope at all. Brother Jerry and I was at a roadside park. Where were we going that day, right after I got saved? Where were we going? Obed's, that's right. And I said, Brother Jerry, how come everybody's mad at me? He said, well, maybe you're stepping on some toes. I said, I'm not stepping on nobody's toes. I got saved. And there were people who would come and try to convince me that I saved already. I said, well, why are you mad at me? I mean, several people would come and say, Brother Jerry, don't you know you're saved? And I said, I do now. I said, it don't matter what it was. To me, that's time past. And they looked, well, just about all of them eventually trusted the Lord. And I thought, well, that's what you get for talking bad about me. No. My wife, she thought I'd gone crazy. When I trusted the Lord, I went after her with a fever. We were like Johnny Cash. got married in a fever. I said, are you saved? She called her mother and she said, he's gone crazy. She said, I don't like his attitude. I'm going to stay a Baptist. Went to Baton Rouge and trusted the Lord 2 weeks later. Deacon, Brother Moore, just save me. He got mad about it. Why do you get mad? The most glorious thing that would ever happen today is you got saved. If you came up to Brother Steve and told him later, said, you know, all the messages that come just accumulated on me, praise God, I just trusted Christ. Amen. No, Steve said, what'd you do that for? Brother Steve would be probably crying. I've seen him cry before. If that barbecue don't come, he's going to be crying again. If you see Brother Steve up at Steak and Shake, you know it didn't come. He can give them to eat. No. Are you happy when people get saved around you, or you go, what's going on here? I thought they were saved. Does it ever bother you when people get saved? Does it upset you a little bit? Do you get kind of like watching a heart operation and that thing's quivering and you're going... You get to thinking about your own mortality. Maybe you're thinking about your own justification. There's nothing stopping you. You've had 4 preachers. All of them told you the gospel of Christ. The simplicity of the finished work is Jesus Christ died for your sins according to Scripture. He was buried, rose again the 3rd day according to Scripture, satisfied God. You have access. You have ability to go to God. You can get your vile body changed. And you know what's amazing about Paul? Paul said, go to 2 Timothy and watch. No, I got to shut. We're about right now. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12, I believe somebody read. He said, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know in whom I believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's just, whether it's that way or not, let's think about today. There's a day coming in your life when you're going to blink your eyes. Now, we all hope and pray that we go out alive. It really don't matter, folks. Either way, you go to the Lord if you're saved. I mean, you're lustful and you want to be the only one that can say, I went up in the rapture. Everybody's always been talking about it, but I got it. It doesn't matter. Dead or alive, we go. And so Paul committed unto him that day because of what happened in verse 9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us. That's Paul and Timothy in the context. And it called us with an holy calling. It's a special calling, folks. Not according to our works. Now, if you're called and it's not according to your works, why would you preach works? Wouldn't that make sense? I heard somebody talking about Brother Steve one time. He's preaching works. I ain't never heard Steve preach works. I've been to every conference. I ain't heard him preach works. I can testify. Folks, we all believe in works for reward, yes, but not works for salvation. No, no, no. That ain't going to work. And so he said, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Next 4 words. What was your appointment? What did Jesus Christ and God the Father do for you? He abolished death. Paul said, therefore being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. But wrath's not here. Death is. Are you going to make it home today? There's a white Nissan out there lurking for you. He's coming. He's coming out of that stop sign. And he's going to T-bone you. I ain't laughing, folks. Are you going to make it home? Are you? While you're sitting here,
you can secure your way home. Home. Trust the Lord. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And it is according to the Scripture. Trust that. And God will seal you right now. And whether that T-bone happens, or you get home, or you last another 30 years, God will never separate you from Him by anything. Romans 8:38-39. It's your decision. You know, they say, make a decision for Christ. Well, here's your decision. Are you justified? Or are you not? Amen.